from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right. Well, welcome, everyone, to another episode of Lean Local. This is the show where we do what we say, and we do lean into the local issues here in Green Bay. And one of the reasons I so wanted to do this show was I've always loved local politics, still do, always will. And, you know, we get concerned about what's going on in other parts of the world, and we should be, right? I mean, I think a lot of you watch the presidential debate, and I think there's a lot of things going on with, you know, Gaza Strip and Ukraine. And then even at the state level, there's a lot of things happening as well. But what we do here locally really affects you. The local things that we do from a government standpoint, what we do from a policing standpoint, what we do from a charitable standpoint is local. So we talk about local politics. We talk about local issues and local leaders. The other thing, the other reason we call this Lean Local is I'm not really into this whole left-right, right? Republican, Democrat. I've always been a nonpartisan. I was, elected 4 terms as mayor. And people would always ask, Republican, Democrat. And I'm like, look, I'm Green Bay. That's what I do. No red, no blue. It's all green to me. But I wanted to talk to someone who is very knowledgeable in politics. And look, there's a lot of people out there, right? We have 99 representatives in the state and 33 senators and obviously a governor, lieutenant governor. And when you go down to county board, I mean, to the county, we have 72 counties. So we have county board, county executives, and they all have too big of boards. And then we have, a bunch of mayors and city leaders. But the reason I have our next guest coming in is he's been in politics, and we'll get into how long. But the reason I called him and told him to come on is he's not running again. And I think when you're not running, I think you have just a little different perspective. And I think you see it more at 30,000 feet than you do on the ground. And
yep.
Good or bad, you see the whole field. And when you're not running, you can go to stuff because you want to go, not because you have to go. And you go there to see, not to be seen, right? When you're not running. So anyway, John Mako, who is a friend of mine, a lot of you may know him from Mako Floor Covering. He also was a financial consultant and then got into the whole politics and ran successfully for the state assembly. And we'll get into how many terms and all that, but just welcome.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. I appreciate it. And, you made a good point. I mean, I like the concept of the show, the Lean Local. I mean, it's why you got involved. I have no national aspirations. You didn't have national aspirations because we sat back. You did the same thing that I did. You sit around and you're going, hey, look, people say, how'd you get involved? And I go, well, I served on one old Main Street committee because my offices were on Main Street. I thought, well, I should chip in. And it's now I remember what you're talking about. But I mean, when we went to St. Agnes, we had 6 kids that ran through St. Agnes School. We were in scouts and we were doing stuff and dad got involved. I mean, because that was where that was local to them. And he would run the Christmas tree sale and you did your part because that's what citizenry is. And so I think the concept of this show is really awesome because I say this all the time. If you really want to impact, I have been to your board meetings and you've been to mine. But there's nothing like a town meeting. I love going to a town meeting because they start at 7 and they're done at 8.
Yeah.
Because these are farmers. These are guys that got to, they work 12, 15 hours that day and they got to do it again tomorrow. They come in, they take care of whatever needs to be done. They move on to the next thing. And so folks want to engage me, as they probably do you, with some of these national issues. And I go, hey, if you really want to impact the local community, go to a school board meeting, go to a town hall meeting, go to a city council meeting, go to a county board meeting. That's going to be much, much more impactful and much more direct than anything that I can do in Madison.
And I think, like you said, your business was on Main Street. So it's like, guess I'll get on the board. And I think people have an opportunity to do that in many communities in our listening area where they live in a community or in a neighborhood and they can join the neighborhood association. They're always looking for people to join neighborhood associations. And that really drills it down to...
And you did that, Jim. Yeah. I mean, if you just look down Main Street right here out the window and you look and you see now there's green space on those islands that wasn't there before. We did that when we redeveloped Main Street as part of the old Main Street program, you know, and there's 45 planters, great big, huge 700 pound planters that are out there. We did that too.
Right.
I mean, the Fox, I was just this morning early, I got up and I ran the Fox River, rode the Fox River Trail from my house in Ledgeview all the way down here and back again. And I'm proud of that because that met in my offices right here on Main Street for 3 years. The East River and Fox River Bike Trail Committees met in our offices. We gave them our conference room to use. And so that's there today because of stuff they talked about and the space that we donated to them. And so I think those are the tangible things. I mean, that's how stuff happens.
And I think it doesn't happen. I mean, even though I was one of them, it's really not the government leader. It's the people that come up with this.
Well, that's
stuff.
What I'm saying. I mean, in and of itself, the
politicians
itself,
take the credit at the ribbon cutting that they do. But I mean,
Well, sure. And even the town, but anyway, okay. So last Wednesday was Kids Day, right?
Yes.
And that was something that you started and yes. I wish we still were doing it. I mean, it's a really cool thing.
We still do it. They still do it. It's still done. It still goes on. They had 10,000 kids participate.
Okay. And, I missed it then.
Yeah. It got a little bit, it got a little bit more attention, I think, back then, but no.
And all the neighborhood associations, you went from how many to how many?
Yeah. I don't know, 11 to 42 or 41 or something.
Yeah. Yeah. But don't poo-poo that. That was a big deal.
Yeah, I know.
And then that's it. It's citizens taking care of citizens.
And that's what I want to talk about in this first part of this program here is how you don't really have to go to Madison or DC or even the county board or the city council. You can be very effective as a active neighbor.
Yeah, but actually do stuff, right? So I don't understand some of these. And you're going to say, John, I told you not to be partisan. But, you know, like these community organizers, I have no idea what the heck that is. That's a really dumb term. And it's like, I don't get that. What I want to know is, are you going to roll up your sleeves and do something?
Right.
That's what I want. I don't want any more rabble rousers and people with great ideas. There's no shortage of great ideas. Like, what do we need to do to fix the park? What do we need to do to fix the community?
All right. So you would encourage someone to get on a ballot.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me why you were active in the neighborhood. And I know it was Old Main Street, but that was a business neighborhood, but it was a neighborhood nonetheless. There were people that got together. Why the move from being active? Were you not getting stuff done? Did you feel like you would have had a stronger voice? But why would you encourage someone who loves their community, loves their city, to actually go on a ballot? And we're going to talk about some of the challenges of that.
Well, I'm going to push back a little bit. I don't think everybody should be on the ballot. I think somebody should be on the ballot that has some career experience. And I'll tell you what, again, this is going to cause a little riff, but actually my staff all knows this. I mean, if I'm interviewing a staff, like we got Kyle here, the intern right now, and I haven't had a chance to chat with him yet, but if he's going into political science, I'm going to smack him because it's like, no, that is a byproduct of something else, you know? And so you bring something to Madison or to the city council or to the county out of skill sets that you've earned and wisdom that you have.
I don't know about that. We're here with John Mocco, a representative who served our state and is not running anymore. And I think takes a little bit more of a nonpartisan look at things. When you talk about bringing a skill set, there are a lot of people that get elected without a skill set. They're the usher in the church. They're the community person. They get elected. And look at, you know what I'm saying? Like sometimes, John, it's not.
Yeah, but I don't get that, Jim.
What do you mean you don't get it?
I don't understand
that?
No. I know that they're doing that and their heart's in the right spot, but I mean,
what do they bring?
The budget for the city of Green Bay is about $120 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, part of the problem that I have is, you know, your insurance bill was what, $17 million a year? Am I close?
Yeah, that's close.
And so it's like, well, if you've never sat down with an insurance executive and negotiated a multi-million dollar bill like that, what makes you think you can do it now? You know, and so that's the concern that I have is I think we need to do a better job of bringing quality people. And what I'd like to see is it doesn't mean that the rank and file folks don't have a place, but I'm just saying we got to have more guys like you or me that are saying, hey, you know what? I could move to Miami or I could, you know, move to Florida or whatever it is, but I want to stay in my community and contribute because I've got some skill sets that I can bring to make this place a better place.
Let's talk about that. I want to talk about that. Do we have Kyle? We got a couple minutes here. Okay. So well, this was a while ago, but I went on a mission. Well, that's what we'll call it.
Okay.
And I talked to business people. And I'm not going to name their names because these are good people who've right. made, created a ton of jobs, mm-hmm. ethical. They've made a little bit money. They travel, but they love the city. Sure. Their dad lived here. Some of them, their grandpa lived here. Some of them are a little bit older, raised their kids here. They can't say enough good about the community, Greater yep. Green Bay.
Sure.
So I went and I said, look, just like we're seeing right now, at the kitchen table and say, look, there's an opportunity out there. We need you to run for office. Mm-hmm. John, to a T, they all said no.
Yeah.
And one is, that's your job, not mine. Mm-hmm. Ha ha ha. That's not funny. It's both our jobs. I mean, right?
Right.
And this was elected the 9, 10, 11,000. None of them needed that. I mean, they spill more than that. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't get people to put their name on a ballot. And why do you think that is? Are they afraid of losing?
No.
Is
that, no.
But you got to admit, there's some good people sitting in their offices.
It takes the right kind of person. It takes, you know, first of all, you have to believe in stewardship, right? So some of these people don't. We also know some of the folks that made lots and lots of money here and they don't live here anymore. Or they yeah. have businesses here and yeah. they just, you know, so no, that's not what I'm talking about.
I'm talking about stewardship. I'm talking about people.
But they get involved. No, so for example.
They're involved. I don't want to say anything bad about them. They're very involved and they're very generous. But you just said earlier that to really make a difference, you should get on the ballot. Why don't they get on the ballot?
Well, it's a different category of folks, Jim. I think, you know, guys like me or guys like you are different. We believe in stewardship. We believe in community. And so we're willing to do that. And I think they all contribute. There's kings and there's king makers. And so I think we need both of those people. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice though? Don't you think it's a lot of it's just all the backstabbing, all the noise, all the social media? They're like, I'm not going to put my wife or my daughter or my kids through that.
I don't want to bring up sides, but I was with Eric Hovde just yesterday. And here's a guy that is very accomplished. He has all kinds of trusts and foundations that he does wonderful, great things for people. I mean, he's got.
All right, we're going to get back to this.
Okay, I want to talk about it.
I don't like names, but okay. All right, we'll be right back. You're with Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, special guest this evening, John Mako. Jim Schmidt, a show where we talk about what's going on locally. Our special guest is John Mako, who has served in Madison and is stepping aside. And I thought, in talking to him, I know that he sees it from a little different perspective, and that's why we can stay as close to nonpartisan.
I didn't know you were a Greenback Boogie fan, Jim.
Oh, John. Suits. Yeah. That was, so I don't watch much TV. Well, you've been, I don't even have a TV. I went downstairs. So I was... But my wife is gone, and I just said to my dog, I'm like, well, let's go watch TV. And I was just
kind of... Your dog, Milton.
Yeah.
That's nice.
And I was just kind of looking at stuff, and that came up, Suits. And I got addicted to it. I watched it for like 14 hours, which is a long, long time for me. But I thought it was great. And then my man, Khan, here, who does the producing for the show, you know, he had some music, and I said, Khan, dig up that Suits music, Walker and Greenback Boogie. Yeah. And so that's what we use now. So thank you for recognizing that. Yes.
Good Lord.
I didn't see the end of the show, so I hope it ends well. I don't want to be some kind of have music to a weird show. I didn't see the end of it. I only saw a couple seasons. Anyway, hey, we're talking about politics here.
I just want to pick up, you know.
Right. We're talking about why good people don't run.
To keep it nonpartisan, I'm just saying, you know, you're saying why aren't a certain level of folks throwing their hat in the ring?
And strong business background, hospital executive, people who can manage a budget, can have vision. read a lot, and why don't they run?
I think it's the personal ad hominem attacks. I mean, it takes a really thick skin. It's absolutely nuts. I mean, they come after me for, you know, they just make up stuff. It's crazy. Or, you know, as a business guy, they'll go back into your taxes 15, 20 years and they'll find something that you made a mistake on. $39 in my case, $39. And they, you know, spend $250,000 telling you you're a dirty rotten scumbag and put your office, your business's phone number on TV. And you're going, why do I want to do that?
Right.
Or they come after your wife. I mean, they came after my late wife, Sue. And they said something to the effect that I was against breast cancer screening for women. I'm going, where are you getting that? I mean, that's nuts. My wife is dealing with breast cancer. It's vile, Jim. And so I think that's part of the reason why.
Isn't that a little scary to think that if good people don't run because of this vile climate, that we're going to end up with maybe not the brightest and best?
Right. And so that's what you get. You know, you've got to have somebody, like in my case, I'm extremely proud of my title. I'm the representative from the 88th district.
Right.
I have an office in the Capitol. I am the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee. That is a really powerful thing. But guess what, Jim? That's not my most important title. You know, I'm proud of that, but that's not as good as it gets for me.
Yeah.
And so I think it depends on your internal locus of control. And so what you end up with is folks that is the most important thing to them.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a few folks, again, they'll remain nameless, but you're going, well, even with this redistricting stuff, you go, well, do you suppose so-and-so is going to run? Do you suppose so-and-so is going to run? And you go, of course they are. What are they going to do? Go back to what they used to do?
Or
they're never going to do that.
But that's because they didn't do much. Or
that's
weren't anybody.
My point. It's like,
That you're making a really good point. That's why I want to talk about term limits, which you guys have, but you should have them.
We should have them.
I think sometimes that their title becomes more than them, and you don't know, do they have kids? Are they a good husband? Do they, you know what I mean? And it's like, that's not what I do. I am senator this or congressman this.
Yeah.
Or rep, or I don't know. City councilman or council person this. And
no.
When that starts becoming bigger. So, but I don't want to scare people. I mean, we're coming into the 4th of July next week, and, you know, we're an independent country made up of, you know, by the people for the people. And if we're not getting talent because of the vile, or if people are staying too long because they're nothing without it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a scary formula for success.
So first of all, you talked about, there's a lot of stuff there. So I completely agree with you on the term limits. I would do that right away.
Haven't you?
I talked about doing it. And, you know, again,
I did it just for the record.
Yeah, but you were able to do it. So again,
well, it took me 6 years to do it.
If I was speaker, if I was at some point where I could actually get that done, drafting that legislation, introducing it would have been a piece of cake, but it would have been, you know me, Jim, that's the other thing that I think we see sometimes too, is that folks are ginning up a bunch of legislation thing. I just introduced a bill to do this, this, and this, you know, free ponies for everybody. And you're going, well, that's never going to happen. You're not going to get a Senate sponsor on that. You're not going to get a vote on it. It's not going to get a hearing. You're just getting free press. And that's just nonsense. And so I would have done that in a minute. We talked about it. I researched it. We looked at it. Do we make it 8 years? Do we make it 12 years? 12 would have been the maximum.
12.
And I would have done that in a minute. But it was never going to get a hearing.
And talk about nonpartisan. That is a nonpartisan issue. There's people on both sides that have stayed way, way, way too long.
No, and when you did it, you had all kinds of naysayers go, oh, it's never going to pass, never going to
pass.
And what was the referendum? It was like 75 to 25.
Oh, no, it was higher than that.
Was it?
It was in the high 80s.
Yeah.
And people said, my district will not vote for this. Yeah. That's why we have elections. They will not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think the guy who said that, it was like 81% in his district said, look,
exactly.
And that was put in by the people. I just want to say that if you're going to have term limits, that's got to be put in by the people, because the only way it can be taken out is by the people. Whereas if you guys, like the city council, county board, if they vote term limits and they've done advisory referendums, they don't have to act on it. If they put it in, they can take it out. So this is here to stay in Green Bay. I just can't see the city of Green Bay residents saying, no, we want people in longer than 12 years.
But we should do that completely. It needs to be done, obviously, in Washington, D.C. It needs to be done in Madison. And many states do, by the way. One of the other things, I was chairman of the Budget and Revenue and SALT Task Force for the National Council of State Legislators. So I had the opportunity to work with all the states across the country, and many of them have term limits. And I think it's a smart way to go.
Okay. I don't.
But you know, you hit the nail on the head. I am feeling really good. I had to go to some events yesterday and it was super fun because I wasn't running.
You didn't have to be
I'm not begging for votes.
Right.
I'm not begging for money. Yeah. I can be like the senior statesman, you know, if you will, without being too arrogant. And it's been kind of fun.
You'll continue to do that. But, you know, breakfast on the farm is fun. We weren't there for votes or
But no.
And, you know, I went to probably a few more than you, but I went to like 500 events a year. And that was, but I don't go to that many anymore. And some of them I had to be at. And I don't know that I'm not there now, but there's a lot of them that I still love. I mean, this Friday's.
But I want to circle back to you talking about how do people get involved, right? And so they don't actually have to just put their name on a ballot, but I would ask them to maybe kick it up a notch. I mean, the very, very least you could do is send an email, but I get so many emails, it doesn't really matter, you know, or then make a phone call or actually go down to the office and talk to the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, and you knew that if someone came to your office, you'd sit down and visit with them. If they sent you a text, you'd read it. If they sent you an email or a voicemail, but if they came to your office, that's something else.
We're going to pick this up after the break, but I want to talk a little bit more about nonpartisan getting involved, but then given the 4th of July is coming up in a few days, I want to talk about the revolution and what these guys who are younger than us, what they did and why that's worth celebrating.
Yeah, Alexander Hamilton was a kid.
Yeah, I know. It's awesome. All right, we're going to be right back. Lean Local with our guest, John Mako. That is as fitting as Stars and Stripes Forever. I mean,
really?
Not really. But if you want to talk about the Declaration, and I was talking to Mino about this on our other show, and he said, you know, the 4th of July, we're celebrating too much, and we didn't even win. And he's right. It was another, two, 3 years before we actually, you know, I think that was in York where, you know, we kind of went and the British are like, okay, we're done. But to declare something is a really important step in life. I'm going to whatever, not drink. I declare I'm going to leave this job. I declare I'm going to
get married. Significant about that, Jim.
It was a declaration. That's what it was.
And they signed it.
Yeah. 54 guys, their life.
Signed it.
Yeah.
And all they had to do was find those guys and they're hanging from the gallows.
Oh yeah, totally. They said you're signing your, a lot of the guys thought they were signing their death certificate.
But so many of those guys were young.
They were, they were 31, 32, 33. I mean.
But that's the cool part,
Frank,
Jim.
Was a little bit old.
And, you know, there's a lot of folks that are down on what's going on in the world right now and particularly in our country. And I'm actually encouraged. I mean, I think if you read, there's some heady books. There's one called The Fourth Turning. And then Gad Saad wrote one called The Parasitic Mind. And when you look at the evolution of the country, we really can divide things up in about four different seasons. And so we have an opportunity to remake the country and reaffirm some of those liberties that we talked about in 1776. We get a chance to do that every generation or so. And you and I mean, we don't remember 45 because we were both born in 58, but we're part of that baby boom generation. If you go back to 1863 at the end of the Civil War, The world was, I mean, the country was decimated. It was terrible. But literally out of that despair, almost about a couple of years later, Rockefeller discovers oil. Carnegie's building steel. We're putting railroads in. We're cutting the Erie Canal. You know, the country did all kinds of great, wonderful things. Then we get into 29. Things got, we got a little ahead of ourselves and we crashed. And then we move up into 1945. We're into the Second World War. Everything's going to heck in a handbasket. Everybody thinks it's a terrible despair. And then literally 2 years later, the boomers start coming up. We can't keep up with housing. Industry goes nuts. And I think we have that opportunity to rebuild ourselves all the time. So I'm optimistic. I think this current lull that we're in started about 2005. I suspect by 2030 or so, we're breaking back into the concept of personal responsibility and individual rights. And folks will start moving back into that era. I think that the era of AI is going to be fascinating, both on the negative side as well as on the positive side. So I'm super encouraged. And there's, you know, a lot of dynamic young people that are ready to take advantage of that.
But okay, I would, that sounded great. I'm concerned that there are people who don't have that vision, that optimism. And I think what they need to do is on the 4th is take, what, 8-10 minutes, read the Declaration of Independence, read about these guys who signed their life away. Who
yeah, said, but it wasn't all the guys, Jim, right? Even in 1776, well, the guys.
Look, I don't know
Ben Franklin's own son.
No, I know. Hey, look, I'm just, you're right. It was not unanimous. I mean, the vote was, but these guys.
No, the vote wasn't, Jim. There's a group of guys that wanted to do that. And the other half were loyalists. They thought they were nuts. They thought these guys were
signing their death certificate.
What's the word we're using now for January 6th? What are they called? Insurrectionists. Yeah. They thought those guys were insurrectionists. That's what they did.
But they didn't care. And that's what I liked about
it. Well, the guys that signed it didn't care.
And those are the guys who had the wherewithal to say, look, I mean, they filed, what, 27 grievances against George and said, look, we've had it, George. Of course, he could care less about the United States. He just thought that was an annoyance. I mean, they could have steamrolled us. I mean, if you look right, I mean, I just think England could have taken on this little 13th colony.
Yeah, they didn't take us serious till
they
the
didn't
end.
Take us serious till, well, yeah, till
and
the
it
end.
Was too late.
Yeah.
But we were almost toast. I mean, thank goodness France came and helped us out.
Yeah.
And then we left them to dry. That's kind of interesting conversation too.
It's the 4th of July.
Yeah.
I want to celebrate the leadership, what happened, and that people today sometimes have to look back at that and say, wait, you know, this, we got a good thing going here. I mean, these freedoms we have, speech, the right to education, these are things that we couldn't have had under George.
No.
And that's why.
Or anywhere in the world.
Or anywhere, well, that's, yeah.
Even today.
Right.
You know, you travel, I travel. And I think that's the sad part. I mean, I think folks need to get out and see some of these third world countries firsthand and understand what's going on there. And you're going, this stuff you take for granted is crazy to me.
And how do we get back to that optimism that these guys had, that this country has had time? And you say there's an ebb and flow to that optimism.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're definitely not at a high point right now.
No, but I think that worm's turning. It's becoming really, really self-evident that the road we're on, where we've got group rights and all this other kind of stuff without the responsibilities that go along with that, it's becoming super self-evident to a lot of people.
Okay.
But again, if that happens, so two things I question, I don't have an answer for, right? So what is the cataclysmic event that makes that flip? And then who are the leaders and the dynamic individuals that would take charge of that? You know, it's going to need to be a Kennedy type, not Bob Kennedy, but Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy, 1960, in the 60s. Let's go. That's where I'm going. So it's got to be a JFK kind of an individual, a dynamic, charismatic.
All right, so what
it
has to happen?
It can't be any of us old guys, Jim, and you're much, much older than I am.
Yeah. So we have to have, we have to have this major, Russia, we have to have this major event to get us to appreciate what we have. Is that what you're saying? We can't just go back and remind ourselves and bring out the gratitude list and say, look, we've got this. And that, you think to take us out of this lull is going to take a major Korea or the Russians or something really bad to happen.
Yeah, I do. I'm telling you.
I hope not.
It's going to have to be. It's the
recession. A depression.
The only history in the country that the only time that's happened, right, Jim? So it's the Revolutionary War. It's the Second World War. It's the stock market crash of 29. Those kind of cataclysmic events. Now, again, you can argue, well, did that actually happen in 74, 75, 76? You know, keep in mind, we had hostages in Iran. We had hyperinflation. We had gas rationing on. You remember when we were in high school, Jim? People don't know this. Kyle doesn't know this. When we were in high school, you could buy gas on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays if you had a certain license plate, Tuesday, Thursdays, and Saturdays if you had a different license plate. That was here in the United States in the 70s, mid-70s, when we were in high school. That's a fact. And so, you know, was that cataclysmic enough to change things, to usher in then, you know, Reagan and the rest of the stuff that can end up changing there? And again, it can be democratic. I'm just saying, I think there's got to be something. And is that Putin? Is that Israel?
I hope
that Taiwan? I don't know. Is it the collapse of the dollar? Is it, what is it? It's something, but I think it's something.
China calling our debt?
Yeah. I mean, it could be all kinds of stuff. I mean, people, there is some significant stuff. The fact now that Saudi Arabia doesn't sell oil in dollars anymore. Do you understand the ramifications of that? That's significant.
All right. I'm glad you're on the show. Happy 4th of July, but I just don't think it's going to take that. I think it's going to take leadership at the local level to remind kids like Kyle, to remind people like that are pessimists, that are curmudgeons, to say, you know what? We got a good thing going here. And I'm not going to wait for the sky to fall in. I'm not going to wait for a nuclear head to hit one of our country. We've got a good thing going, and we've got to fix it. And we got to fix the homelessness. We have to fix fentanyl. I'm not going to wait. We can't wait. We are going to do what you said. And we're going to wait till, well, you want to speak German or you want to go fight these guys? You know what I mean? I don't want it to be like that. I want it to be, and I don't want to, you know, the strength of the dollar is good. Not as, you know, yeah, I don't know. You're kind of ruining my fourth. We got to turn this thing around. I mean, I thought you'd say, we need to celebrate what we have, Johnny.
No, I'm all with you, Jim. I think but see, that's the dichotomy, right?
Right.
And you're kidding yourself if you don't think there's an actual war going on, a subverted war going on for the soul of this country, because there is. And so I'm not ready to throw in the towel. I'm just saying to get the rest of the group to move in that direction.
All right, let's go to the expert.
Okay.
The 20-year-old in the room.
Oh, yeah, there's some genius going on there. Kyle, jump in here.
So I'm just kind of trying to put this into layman's terms then. So are you saying that is it the catastrophic event, or is it just an argument of passion, like, behind the people?
I think it takes a 9/11 type event for everybody to get out of their selfishness and their greed and their self-interest to pull together. And I don't know what that event is. I don't think people do that voluntarily. They will say, yeah, but. So you can have these wonderful intellectual conversations about Americanism and stewardship. But their own personal, to put their own personal self-interest aside is going to take something significant to do that. And when you talk about what our patriot and our founding fathers did, when you really dig into the history of some of that, some of these folks went broke. They lost their farms. They lost their businesses. They lost their families. They lost everything that had anything at all to do. Of course, Jefferson didn't, Franklin didn't, you know, but there were a lot of folks that,
okay.
That did this.
And that you're saying the event was losing to the Brits. And I'm saying these guys had such a positive vision that they're the ones who kind of provoked it. That they didn't wait for the event.
You have to understand, half the country was not for this. And even then, you talked about the looting. I mean, we still had skirmishes between states into the, into the 1780s and 90s. So you had this was not a general consensus that these people were all smart and right.
I don't know that I ever said that. I think what I'm saying is, you know how success breeds success? Like, okay, this is not a great, so the only thing that comes to mind right now.
Ultimately, it's
Let's talk about Lambeau Field. We worked on that together.
Okay.
And wouldn't you say half the country was against it and half was for it?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And now, ask people.
No, I totally.
They all voted for it.
That's the point I was about to make.
Okay.
Is that once the event took place, then everybody that was still a loyalist that thought this country's going to heck in a handbasket, I'm out of here, I'm going back to England. And they all left in mass back to England. And then you were left with just loyalists. Excuse me, you were left with just, U.S. folks that were voting, that were part of the 1776 revolutionaries. And so those guys were there. But once that ended, but during the process, it was vicious. They were fighting each other on their own turf. You had,
you know, I looked it up.
But now you're right. Using your example,
236 skirmishes is what they say.
Skirmishes?
Yeah. 236. I mean, there were some wars. There were some big wars, right? Yeah. By I think 20, 30 wars. But
sure.
You're right. There was just, I mean, with the Brits, but there was some internal fighting as well.
And then though, everybody coalesced. And you can see what happened, because immediately after that, it was stunning. What actually happened. And that's, I think, maybe your point, is that if we can get through that thing, it's just like, you want to use your football analogy. I mean, you can get down to the 1 yard line. Now you're in the red zone. You got 1 yard to go. I mean, that's where most of the energy is generated.
But you didn't have to have a major event. We didn't have to have a 9/11 to have the stadium not go. We didn't have to lose the Packers. What I'm saying
is,
if you educate people, you don't need. All right, we're going to be back. We're playing Twisted Sister. We're not going to take it, and we didn't, and we won. And here we are celebrating 4th of July coming up. When we come back, we're going to talk about the positive things that are coming in the future here in the United States of America and right here in Green Bay. We'll be right back. This is Jim Schmidt, Lean Local. We are celebrating the 4th of July.
Yep.
I will tell you, and I work with John Mino in the morning. We've known each other for years, but he goes, I can't believe how excited you get about the 4th of July. And as I told Johnny that, like, I'm glad I'm living now.
Which Johnny?
You're John Mako. Mino. But I was telling him, if I looked at the line of, from the beginning of time till today, 4th of July, 2024. I'm glad I'm living now for a lot of reasons, mostly because of family and friends. And I had an enjoyable career. However, if God would have let me pick the time I could live, mm-hmm. I definitely would have picked the Revolutionary War.
Wow.
Because I just...
Not me. You had to go to the outhouse. You didn't.
I know. They put you on a boat, and I know. It was tough. They treated you terrible.
No, yeah. I think we're in a perfect spot. And I think to your point, though, Jim, we're running out of time. But I would tell you that I agree with you. I love the 4th of July. I fly a flag. I have a 500-watt light bulb that lights my flag. So I never have to take it down. It is fascinating to me because I believe in stewardship. I look and I go, man, my great grandparents immigrated here from Belgium. And then my grandparents got to do this. And then my parents got to do that. And I get to do this. Are you flipping kidding me? Right. No other place in the world could you do this. And so what I see every time the 4th of July comes along, and it's to your point with this whole show, is opportunity.
Right.
We still have opportunity with all of our faults, with all this stuff. If you want to make something of yourself, this is the place to do it.
And I think we have to be reminded of that. I don't think we have to wait for an event.
No.
And that's what I just think when my kids were home, older now, but we always had a birthday cake on the 4th of July saying happy birthday. Yes. Oh, that's cool. Well, it's right. That's what it is. Kind of our birthday. Kind of we had to win the war to really have a longer birthday. But I'm just saying today is this coming up on the 4th of July.
Did you really have a cake?
Yes. Yeah, we did.
You're hilarious.
What?
Huh?
Kids Day started in my house.
Song? What song did you sing? Did you sing Happy Birthday America?
Of course. Yeah. I think a lot of people do that.
No, nobody does that, Jim. But you're the kind of guy that watches a show with your dog, Milton. So what do I know?
I think a lot of people do that.
Individually, right? So we were talking about globally. We were talking about nationally. We're talking about locally. But what is it? But at some point, right, it boils down to individually. Yeah, right? So as for me and my house, what am I doing?
Right.
And my family is like your family. We celebrate the country. We respect the opportunity that we're here. We're grateful that we're standing on the shoulders of my parents, my grandparents, and my great-grandparents. Right. And we respect that, and we build on that. And I have talked to we have a lot of the same friends. So there's one family whose parents moved here from Italy. Their kids are first generation, and they've been both wildly successful in the paper converting industry. Yeah. And they're concerned that how do they pass that on to the next generation? Mm-hmm. And so we've had some really detailed conversation on how do we continue to instill that personal responsibility, that opportunity, that stewardship to build on that. And I think I've always said, you've heard me say it, you know, we didn't inherit this country from our grandparents. We are borrowing it from our grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And that's what drives me. That's what drives my kids. And that's what drives you, I think.
It does. And I want to move off, but I just think there's a lot of great holidays. We have plenty of them here, but I'm all into the barbecue and swimming and fireworks. I think it's a real celebration. I don't think there's anything sad about this. I mean, life's lost, but I'm just saying this was the beginning of a unbelievable journey.
No, I
and I love that. And totally I think that's worth celebrating.
So yes.
Get the birthday cake out, Johnny.
I'm going to start, maybe we'll start with the red, white. Is it red, white, and blue?
Of course, it's you can put those blueberries on and strawberries for the flag.
Oh, you make it look like a flag?
Of course, oh, come on. Everybody does that. No, don't tell me. No.
Jim.
This is, and I will say that Kids Day started in my house.
Does Milton like it? What does Milton think about your cake?
It's only the second one. So he's going to, I have to have a talk with him, but he'll get it. He'll get it.
Good Lord.
But I hope families, when they sit around, they can talk about this is what happened.
Yep.
The wars we went through, the king who was just this tyrant over us and ended up going, he went nuts at the end.
And
anyway.
We redo it all the time, Jim, whether it's the First War, the Second War, the Civil War, you know, the Vietnam War. You look at all of these times when we have to reaffirm that commitment to individual responsibility and personal freedoms. And that's where we're at.
The rights
and
we
it's
have.
Done it, on an individual basis. And I think, you know, whether we get there in a bang or in a slow thing, I do believe we get back there. I don't believe the demise of the country is near.
Me either. I think we're independent. We need to stay that way. And
fantastic. I think
we can do it. So, all right. Well, happy 4th of July.
Thanks for having me, Jim. Yep, you too.
Kyle, happy 4th of July, man.
Yep.
The youth. All right. We will be back next week. Interesting subject. More on the social issues next week. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We'll be back next Sunday at 1 o'clock. WGBW Civic Media. Thanks for joining us.